Thursday marked the 13th anniversary of 9/11, a day of infamy that triggered a war that we just have not been able to bring to a close. There have been announcements that we've won or we've accomplished, but the war has not been done. The enemy that attacked us as Americans within our borders just keeps resurfacing in different parts of our world. A religious fanaticism that seeks to dominate the world and grabs the attention of souls that feel they have been ignored and are looking for a battle to fight. Today I ask a question. Why are we so enraged at these atrocities when we have rationalized the murder of innocent children through abortion? Oftentimes kept totally silent over incidents of genocide in our world. And written off the martyrdom of Christians throughout the world. Are we as incensed over the beheading of a man in Somalia for preaching the gospel of Jesus in his homeland as we are at the murder of two American journalists by ISIS forces, and now a humanitarian aid worker from Britain killed with threats of further, not just journalists now, but human aid workers being threatened. Some are calling for vengeance. How dare these forces treat citizens of the most powerful nations in the world this way? But question, can we police the world? History teaches us that many of the empires of history were defeated, yes, by corruption within. But a major factor that isn't often mentioned is that as they conquered more lands than they could control, they spread their resources too thin, and they couldn't protect what they had conquered, nor could they provide supply lines for their forces. You see, the real truth is we are not even able to maintain peace within our own borders. Seething anger at injustice and prejudice permeate our own nation. We've seen it resurface again in the last month. Where is all of this going to? How do we begin to touch it? How do we stop the war? How do we really address injustice and poverty and greed? How do we do that? Oh, listen to a message of Jesus Don't let anyone mislead you. Many will come in my name claiming, I am Messiah. I've got the answers. Oh, they will deceive many. You will hear of wars and threats of wars, but do not panic. Yes, these things must take place, but the end will not follow immediately. Nation will go to war against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in many parts of the world. But all this is only the first of the birth pains, with more to come. Are you encouraged yet? Oh, then you, my followers, Jesus says, you will be arrested, persecuted, killed. You will be hated all over the world. Why? Oh, simply because you are my followers. Many will turn away from me and betray and hate each other. Many false prophets will appear and will deceive many people. Sin will be rampant everywhere, and the love of many will grow cold. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. And the good news about the kingdom will be preached throughout the whole world so that nations will hear it. And then the end will come. It's in the midst of this that I lift to you the cross. The cross. For here is the news of God through Jesus to our world. It's good news about the kingdom of heaven. It's news that says Jesus and his death on the cross provides full reconciliation with God and turning transformation of every human being. Letter to the Colossians. The Apostle Paul talks about the cross. For God in all his fullness was pleased to live in Christ, and through him God reconciled everything to himself. God made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross. God's already done it. Why can't we find it? In the next chapter, the Apostle Paul picks up that message again. This time he puts it this way. You were dead because of your sins, because of your sinful nature was not yet cut away. Then God made you alive with Christ, for he forgave all our sins. Speaking to Christians. He canceled the record of the charges against us, took it away by nailing it to the cross. In this way, God disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities. He ashamed them publicly by his victory over them on the cross. God's work. With that in mind, listen to a teaching of Jesus about the cross recorded in the book of John, chapter 12. Jesus said to them, "Now the time has come for the Son of Man to enter into his glory. I tell you the truth, unless a kernel of wheat is planted in the soil and dies, it remains alone. But its death will produce many new kernels, a plentiful harvest of new lives. Those who love their life in this world will lose it. Those who care nothing for their life in this world will keep it for eternity. Anyone who wants to serve me must follow me, because my servants must be where I am. And the Father will honor anyone who serves me." Ah, but he said, "Now my soul is troubled. So should I pray, Father, save me from this hour? Oh, but this is the reason I came, Father, bring glory to your name. John says, then a voice spoke from heaven saying, I have already brought glory to my name, and I will do so again. When the crowd heard the voice, some thought it was thunder, while others declared an angel had spoken to him. Then Jesus said, oh, really, the voice was for your benefit, not mine. Then he returns to teaching about the cross. The time for judging the world has come, when Satan, the ruler of this world, will be cast out. And when I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw everyone to myself. He said this to indicate how he was going to die. Well, the crowd responded, we understood from Scripture that the Messiah would live forever. How then can you say the Son of Man will die? Just who is the Son of Man anyway? Jesus replied, oh, my light will shine for you just a little longer. Walk in the light while you can, so the darkness will not overtake you. Those who walk in the darkness cannot see where they are going. Put your trust in the light while there is still time. Then you will become children of the light. And after saying these things, Jesus went away. Parentheses, and left them to scratch their heads wondering, what did we just hear? Well, that's my interpretation. When I am lifted up, I will draw all people to myself. Through the cross, Jesus was glorified. Satan was defeated. Salvation was purchased. Look at some of the key lines in there. Verse 23, now is the time for the Son of Man to enter his glory. Oh, you read John's account of Jesus, and there's other times when asking him, is this the time? It's the time. And Jesus said, no, not yet. No, not yet. No, not yet. Oh, now's the time for the Son of Man to enter his glory. And so he prayed, Father, glorify your name. Oh, now my soul is troubled. So shall I pray, Father, save me from this hour? No. You see, Jesus says, this is the reason I came. Matthew tells us, chapter 20 of his account of Jesus, Jesus said he had come to serve others and to give his life as a ransom. Luke tells the story of Jesus encountering Zacchaeus in Jericho. And in response to the criticism of the people, he said, oh, the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. Now is the time. Father, glorify your name. Now is the time for judging this world. Verse 31. Satan, the ruler of this world, will be cast out. Satan and the forces of evil will be defeated. He's talking about the cross. Phrase. When I am lifted up, I will draw everyone to myself. This word that was translated to lift up turns out to be an interesting word. There's a double meaning when you really look at it. First of all, he was talking about being lifted up, and it was a way of talking about the Roman cross, and the people were saying, oh no. You see, initially, the prince of this world, Satan, will lift up Jesus on a cross. Execution of a rebel on a Roman cross. Humiliation to intimidate the people who might consider following a Messiah rebel or consider revolution in the future. The government was trying to keep control. They lifted up Jesus. Ah, but ultimately, it points on ahead. You see, the creator of the universe will also lift up exalt Jesus through the resurrection. We look at it in history. Satan, the prince of this world, lifted up Jesus on a cross. But what happened 3 days later? God lifted up Jesus through the resurrection. And the resurrection of Jesus became a primary message of the church. A little bit earlier in this teaching about the cross, Jesus talked about a kernel of wheat being planted in the soil and dying. It remains alone, but its death produces many new kernels, a plentiful harvest. Jesus is pointing on ahead. Sometimes we look at the immediate scene and we see loss, we see brokenness, we see fear, we panic, we think we've got to rise up and shut down everything that's the enemy. But in the middle of it, we need to hear God is working out his plan in our world. Now, with the people of old, we get confused about the teachings of Jesus. They said, we thought the Son of Man would come with great power and reign forever, be born into the palace, be a military leader. How can it be? A carpenter, an itinerant rabbi, talking about being crucified on a cross. How can this be? You see, God's logic doesn't follow ours. Oftentimes, I begin to wonder if our understandings of the second coming of Jesus and the end are equally distorted by our interpretations. I wonder what God really has in store. And so, he says to us, put your trust in the light while there is still time. Then you will be children of the light, in verse 36. Earlier he had said, if you center your life in this world, you'll lose it. But if you release hold of your ways, follow my ways, you will receive eternal life. If you want to follow me, Jesus said, you have to be my servants, and you have to do it my way. Put your trust in the Lord. The Apostle John, writing several years later in a letter to the church, interpreted it this way. This is the message we heard from Jesus. And now I declare to you, God is light, and there is no darkness in him at all. So we are lying if we say we have fellowship with God but go on living in spiritual darkness. We are not practicing the truth. But if we are living in the light, as God is in the light, then we have fellowship with each other, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If I understand it right, walking in the light doesn't mean you now have understanding of what's going to happen next. We don't got to do. You know what we got to do? Is take Jesus at his word. You see, sometimes we got to stop these evil forces. Do you realize that God has his forces already in the middle of these areas? We need to pray for the church. We need to do what we can to pray for them. A Somalian pastor beheaded became the seed of an evangelism movement. We can't begin to describe. This doesn't fit. A lot of the teaching of conservative Christians. So how do we answer the questions? How does this stop ISIS in the world or abortion in our own land? You know what? I don't know. I don't know. I don't have advice for President Obama. I've heard some of you, you've got great advice for him. I've been listening to some of the newscasts. They've got all the answers. If you don't believe it, ask them. If you just do. They don't realize we're dealing with a power that's much more than ISIS or greed or fear. We're dealing with the power of evil in our world. Jesus said, when I am lifted up, I will draw all people to me. He was lifted up by Satan, put into a tomb. God raised him, ascended into heaven, and now it's our job to exalt Jesus wherever we're at. That's our job. He says, when we lift him up, exalt him, all people will be drawn to him. Or you might lose your head in the meantime. That's okay. Quick end here, quick glory later. Oh, I don't want to be too crass with that. Through the cross, Jesus was glorified. Satan was defeated. He's not going to be destroyed until the end. You heard of what a cornered squirrel will do? It can get pretty ugly. Satan's that cornered squirrel, and he's fighting like crazy. Salvation was purchased. You see, God is transforming this world one person at a time through the death and resurrection of Jesus. God is constantly working. He says he doesn't want anyone to perish, but all to have life. He says, don't get impatient. God's doing his work. This is the motivation. God prompting us as a congregation, lead 10 people to Christ. Might be a child, it might be a youth. They may never come in this door, it may be somewhere else, but through our congregation, God wants to touch and bring 10 new people to faith in him. The good news about the kingdom will be preached throughout the world, Jesus said, so that all nations will hear, and then the end will come. Sometimes we get so focused on the nations, we forget the people within our own nation. You aware of the number of people that have no idea who Jesus is? See, God has given this opportunity, along with the responsibility for proclaiming his entire message to the world. It's a message that was kept secret from the centuries, but has now been revealed through Jesus. Now God wants all people to know the riches and glory of Christ. This is the secret of God's mystery for the world. Christ living in you, me, us, is the hope of glory.